Hi, my name is Mark, and I just wanted to share with you my testimony and how I came to understand the falseness, I guess you could say, or the error of eternal security. I'll just kind of start way back where with my parents. They were raised as a Roman Catholic. When I was young, they were converted over to the Baptist church. But church that they went to and the different churches they went to, my father was in the Navy, so we moved around a lot. There was this belief of eternal security. But as I got older, I started to notice a lot of hypocrisy in people in the church. And I'm sure there were the genuine hypocrites, but then there were those who were involved in the church. But at the same time, the things they were doing, you know, things they were into, rock and roll, even some of them were promiscuous, their choice of movies, things like that. They would be at church, and they looked great at church, and they sang at church, and they had all the potluck dinners or whatever. But when I saw them outside of church in their daily lives, there was just things about their lives that were totally uncharacteristic of Christianity. From my own family, my father was, at times, he was abusive verbally and physically to my mother and my brother and myself. So that also, I was like, here's my dad going to a church, trying to raise us in these Christian values, but what has eternal security taught him? I don't know. He wasn't being very different than the other maybe abusive fathers out in the world. So from that aspect, there was clearly non-Christian actions. I'm not saying that all of us are perfect, but there certainly wasn't a desire or a fear that I was gathering from my father and from even the people in the church. My dad even drank alcohol and listened to rock music, along with his friends who went to the church. So eventually, when I was a teenager or older, when I finally got out of the house, I decided just to give up the whole church scene. Probably wasn't the best choice. You know, after having tried to be a good Christian, I was part of the bus church. I helped the little bus kids come in and learn the gospel. Unfortunately, it was a false gospel, but unbeknownst to me, I was trying to do my part as a Christian, and I would always even try to step in and be a good example to my friends and tell them, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't listen to that music. Maybe you shouldn't do this and that because it's just not right. And I would get flack from it, from people who supposedly were Christians. So, you know, eventually I did the wrong thing. I just sort of gave up the whole church scene and went on and did my own thing. I eventually joined the military. Actually, before I joined the military, I decided to go to Bible college, actually, with a best friend of mine who was a member of this church I went to. When I went to the college, you know, of course, I went there taking my music. I decided to start listening to rock music myself, and being the good little believer of eternal security, I decided to take my rock music with me to this Bible college, thinking that, because I didn't want to give it up. That's just the bottom line. I didn't want to give it up. It had become this new addiction of mine. So I really went to this college with all the wrong intentions, and it didn't work out, actually. I think God had a hand in that, but it didn't work out. I basically got to the college, and they ended up messing up my paperwork or something for whatever reasons. I couldn't go that semester, so I ended up moving to Oregon to see what life offers me. And I was not doing it with God in mind. I just went out there, got me a job, and just aimlessly going through life. I met this girl and ended up in a wrong relationship with her. But that's when I started drinking alcohol, just doing things, going further and further down that wrong path. Of course, all the while thinking, you know, I'm still a Christian. I'm just maybe a little backslidden, you know, it'll be okay. Someday I'll get right with God. But didn't seem worth the trouble to be going to church because no one seemed to make it a priority anyway to do the right thing, it seemed. My aunt and uncle were very nice, very hospitable. I visited them frequently, but I believe they had the once saved, always saved mentality as well. Spent much of our time, you know, on weekends, watching movies, basically absorbing the worldly lifestyle. And my interest in various forms of secular music started to grow with their interest. From there, I joined the military. This is kind of where my life took an even darker turn. I met a lot of guys in the military that, you know, were smoking, drinking, very, very foul language. That I just pretty much absorbed and partook in. So, you know, every weekend it was whatever party I could go to. I developed, you know, very foul mouth, grew to love rock and roll music even more. It's amazing how powerful music is. It just becomes like this major part of your life. If it's the wrong music, it can have a very deep effect on you. Even occasionally I would go to the bars and clubs and college parties. I was not living righteously at all. But deep in the back of my mind, I still had this idea that I was still a Christian. Every once in a while, I would think, the thought would occur to me, maybe I should get right with God, but then it would vanish. I wasn't really on fire. I had lost my fear of God, and I believe that a part of the reason why I did that is because of the belief in eternal security and the fact that it's been drilled in my head so many times growing up that when you were 5 years old, which when I first said the prayer, when you were 5 years old, you said the prayer, so you're good to go. You're saved. Write that little date in the back of your Bible, and everything's okay. I just really wasn't making any effort to change. As I continued in this lifestyle, though, it's fulfilling only in small spurts. Like the Bible says, sin is only brings pleasure for a season. So while I thought I was having good old time, I was actually beginning to feel very lonely, very desperate, and for truth, which I didn't know at the time, but I would even occasionally have suicidal thoughts, like, life's not worth living, just crazy things like that. Basically came out of living this lifestyle, because it's just not fulfilling, even if it feels like it at the time. Even while all that was occurring, suicidal thoughts and loneliness, even occasionally I would cry out to God for help, but it wasn't a sincere cry for help. It was just crying out to God. Everyone always cries out to God when they're in trouble. But I always go back to drinking the booze and cigarettes to help feel better too. Get that high on the things of this world that only give a temporary cure to your pain. I eventually took a job at this music hall that was basically a rock and roll venue that led me deeper down the path of destruction, you could say. I knew my life was messed up, and I would go back to the old phrase, this must be a backslidden phase of mine. I'll get over it eventually. My belief in the perseverance of the saints just pretty much caused me to lack any sense of urgency to make my life right. I didn't even have a fear of hell, believe it or not, despite the fact I was living so wrong, all while feeling empty and hopeless and alone. Continued to get around that bad company. Bad company corrupts good morals, as the Bible teaches. To go even further down this dark path, on one occasion, I helped my friends, if you want to call them friends at the time, worldly friends, purchase some cocaine. I even later took and partook with them in abusing it. Another friend of mine, I messed with some marijuana. So just crazy things that everyone shouldn't be doing, that I knew I shouldn't be doing, that I was taught not to do. The reason why you don't do this kind of stuff, even from a physical perspective, it's just bad for you. But from a spiritual perspective, it's also damning, soul damning. I knew they were wrong, but like I said before, just wasn't giving the effort. And that job that I mentioned before that I took at the music hall pretty much got me surrounded frequently with individuals whose lives are very compromised, heavy metal bands. I don't even want to go into the stuff that goes on at some of these concerts, but I was there. I was surrounded by this, further going down this path, yet somewhere deep in the back of my mind thinking that I was still just backslidden Christian, that everything eventually would be okay. During this time period, too, I would go visit my parents, hoping to be around better influence. Believe it or not, I was like, maybe if I go visit them, I'll just be around better influence. I wasn't that close to my parents ever, but thought that visiting would make them happy and perhaps I could learn something. But, every time I visited, it was just, my dad would actually offer me a beer. Good old dad, Christian guy, handing me a beer. So, I don't know, that to me, that just, looking back, it's like, doesn't make sense. They're as a Christian, there are things you shouldn't be doing. So, every visit still left me feeling just as empty as when I got there. I wasn't really getting that influence that I'd hoped to get or thought I should at least be getting from my parents. I actually started making changes in my life and starting to try to go back in the direction that I knew I should have been going. Also, while being involved in business is where I met my wife. It was love at first sight, and we got along very well. And this was around the time I was actually getting out of the military. So it was pretty much ending a four-year period of my life that was very, very dark. Looking back on it, it's just a period of my life I wish that I hadn't lived the way I did. So in any case, I moved away from Colorado a few months later to be closer to Michelle and her family. Michelle's my wife's name, by the way. Basically just to start building that relationship, meet her family, be closer. So I moved down And I started attending the church that Michelle's family went to. It was a charismatic, I guess you could say, Pentecostal church. During this time period, I was getting back into the church-going process, you could say. You know, not that the churches were teaching sound doctrine, but I felt I was going down the right path. I had a hard time finding work, but I eventually found a job as a security officer. And I believe God used this job as a period in my life where during my patrols, I could actually drive around in this vehicle, and I actually made it a point to start listening to Christian radio. I was having a revival in my life. I decided to listen to Christian music and start listening to sermons again. I became very convicted of all the evil that I had done and how bad my morals had gotten. I actually, at one point, repented after hearing a gospel song. It was the first time I had ever wept over my sins, and I became weak, and I literally fell to my knees. I looking back, and I can still remember that day, I just fell to the ground crying because I just realized how awful I had been and just begged God to have mercy on me. At that point, I really started making some changes. I had even to the point where I started noticing compromise in the churches that the church I was going to, because from my Baptist background, or the charismatic church, seemed very different. So I eventually left the church that Michelle's family had been attending because I felt they were very compromised, and I started attending a Southern Baptist church, which in hindsight is not any different as far as the doctrines are teaching, just a very different method, you could say, of teaching it. Eventually, I left that church as well, because I just started recognizing compromise. As I started changing my life, I believe the Holy Spirit was convicting me of certain things. The reason why I left the charismatic church was because I thought their music was outrageous. Their doctrines, I started noticing, were wrong. Not eternal security at that particular time, because I hadn't come across any objection to that. It was just other false doctrines, you know, the prosperity, name it and claim it, that kind of thing. So I just got away from that, and during this time period, Michelle was actually the one who, her and I were discussing one day, we ended up having a debate over the backslidden Christians. I was telling her how bad I felt about being backslidden, and we need to make sure that we're going to be focused Christians, be focused on doing the right thing, and that the term backslidden caught Michelle's attention. We kind of had a debate over, well, can a Christian really be backslidden? I mean, if you're a Christian, you're either going to do the right thing, or you're not a Christian. So it was sort of a debate we had, and she ended up doing some more research on it, found this article, and the article kind of woke her up to the fact that eternal security is not true. And she brought it up to me again, and we just kept having these little mini debates about it, because I knew my life wasn't right, but at the same time, I thought to myself, what if I had died during that time period of my life? What if something had happened to me? I always believed that I would still go to heaven. But this started changing, this idea that a Christian is not really backslidden if they're in, sexual sin or drinking or stuff like that they've actually died spiritually. That was a whole new concept to me. I'm a very open-minded person. Once I had gotten out of the business, I realized the errors of my ways there. I had become more of a researcher of things before I got involved in them. So I think God used a lot of things in my life to get me to the point where I was more open-minded and willing to study things out for myself, not take the preacher for what they say, even the guys on the radio that I was listening to as a security officer. All of them were teaching eternal security. Now that I, look back on it, I'm like, wow. I was basically absorbing this lie. Even while I was trying to come out of darkness, I was basically coming out of darkness into another lie. So, I mean, that's just ironic. There's just so many people out there that think they're on the right path, that think they're in this great church, but they're believing a false doctrine, which, in and of itself can be bad, because Paul warned us of doctrines of demons. Of course, hindsight is 20/20. When you look back on things, you can see it also clearly. But when you're going through it, it's this one other thing. I'm just glad that I had become open-minded. By the grace of God, I had opened up my mind to come to understand this. Michelle and I, we got married shortly after kind of going through this debate period, and we were just excited. It's like this new fire was lit. I mean, literally, when I was a teenager, back when I mentioned that I used to be in bus church and I'd help all the little kids, I felt so good about it, and I felt this fire then, but the fire I felt learning the truth about salvation, learning that eternal security is false, that fire was huge. I just got really excited about it. So I went and started sharing it with everybody. I had also, during this process, discovered Evangelical Outreach's website. In fact, I think it was Michelle who discovered it. And I immediately purchased that book. 800 pages didn't scare me away. I was ready to grab that book and read it because I wanted to find out more. Basically, it just, you know, there was so much scripture there. There was so much scripture there that Dan Corner was using. It wasn't his own words. It wasn't rhetoric. It wasn't just the same old line of lies, basically, that these big popular preachers out there are talking about. It was actually a real debate, in my opinion, that I don't believe that book can be refuted. Biblically, that book was well put together. There's enough scripture there to pretty much refute eternal security, perseverance of the saints, once saved, always saved, or whatever you want to call it. It's all in that book. And I read that book, you know, and I had my Bible open on one side, that book open on the other, and I was just on fire. I was like, wow. So I felt like, it was just really important at the time, and it still is. I'm sharing it with as many people as I can. But like I said, I decided to start sharing it. I shared it with my family, shared it with my father, and that really was a new sore spot. I started to realize that it's not as easy to share this as I thought. I thought it would just be as easy as, hey, that's just not right, what we've been taught. It's actually this, this, and this. And even with showing scripture, my father became extremely angry. And actually, unfortunately, my change in the belief process of eternal security to the conditional security has put a wall between me and my father. So I continue to pray for him right now. And you know, the thing is, in mentioning that, it may do that for many people. If you who's listening decide, I'm going to get away from this false doctrine of eternal security, it may do just that. It may put a wall between you and someone else. Like God said, you just follow him. You have to leave everything behind, even if you have to leave your mother, your father, brother, sister, anybody behind. The key is to follow him, because outside of this life, there's eternity. And you only get one go around through your physical life. Big mega churches, they're everywhere. And unfortunately, they're all filled with souls being taught another Christ, a Christ opposite the scripture. So the bottom line is, you only get one chance in this life to find the truth. Don't be deceived by the popular teachers who teach grace as a license to sin. Just repent. That's key. You got to repent. And if there's a sin in your life, just put it behind you. You got to turn to Christ with your whole heart and stay in the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. I know Charles Stanley's popular and he's got a big crowd, but that doesn't mean he's telling the truth. He's not telling the truth. He's just one of many preachers. I could go down a list. You'll learn who those are. Just as politicians are extremely passionate about their message, and just as Hollywood is passionate about their entertainment, we need to be out there. We need to be out there with an even more passion, with an even greater fire for Christ, proclaiming his truth and calling out all those false teachers who teach eternal security and any other doctrine of devils that goes against the Word of God. I speak to myself when I say this, but I also say it to you. Just be on fire for what is right, and you must come to a point where you absolutely hate evil. That's key. During that dark period of my life, I don't believe I hated evil, obviously. Just kind of doing my own thing, popping a beer, smoking a cigarette, just doing what I wanted to do, getting involved in relationships I shouldn't be in. So don't be deceived like I was. Kind of sound like that father that says, hey, don't do what I did. Just do right. The true grace teaches us to reject sin and allow God to have authority in our lives. That's what true grace is, not eternal security, not a license to sin. And remember, true love for your neighbor is to tell him or her the truth found in God's Word. That's it might not always be easy to do, but, if you really love your neighbor as you love yourself, you'd help them not be deceived. And the truth is, you must endure to the end to be saved. That's key right there. If I had had that mentality years and years ago, that I must endure to the end to be saved, then there would have been a wall between me and sin, literally. Christ can give freedom over sin. And you just have to know his word to understand that we don't have to sin, that we can be righteous through Christ.